Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's quite an exciting reading. I wish you would tolerate me, even when I'm a bit foolish. Please do. I'm jealous for you, just as God is. You are like a pure virgin whom I've promised in marriage to one man only, Christ himself. I'm afraid that your minds will be corrupted and you will abandon your full and pure devotion to Christ in the same way that Eve was deceived by the snake's clever lies. For you gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you and preaches a different Jesus, not the one we preached. And you accept a spirit and a gospel completely different from the spirit that you receive from us. I don't think that I'm at least inferior to those very special, so-called apostles of yours. Perhaps I am an amateur in speaking, but certainly not in knowledge. He made this clear to you at all times and in all conditions. I did not charge you a thing when I preached the good news of God to you. I humbled myself in order to make you important. Was that wrong of me? While I was working with you, I was paid by other churches. I was robbing them so as to speak in order to help you. And during the time I was with you, I did not bother you for help when I needed money. The brothers and sisters who came from Macedonia brought me everything I needed. As in the past, so in the future, I will never be a burden to you. By Christ's truth in me, I promise that this boast of mine will not be silenced anywhere in all Acacia. Do I say this because I don't love you? God knows that I love you. I will keep on going, doing what I'm doing now in order to keep the other apostles from having any reason for boasting and saying that they work in the same way we do. These men are not true apostles. They are false apostles who lie about their work and disguise themselves to look like real apostles of Christ. Well, no wonder. Even Satan can disguise himself to look like an angel of light. So it's no great thing that if his servants disguise themselves to look like servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get exactly what their actions deserve. I repeat, no one should think that I'm a fool. But even if you do, at least accept me as a fool, so I have a little to boast about. Of course, what I'm saying now is not what the Lord would like me to say. In this matter of boasting, I'm really talking like a fool. But since there's so many who boast for merely human reasons, I will do just the same. You yourselves are so wise and you gladly tolerate fools. You tolerate anyone who orders you about or takes advantage of you or traps you or looks down on you or slaps you in the face. I'm afraid to admit that we were too timid to do these things. If anyone dares to boast about something, I'm talking like a fool, I will be just as daring. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they Christ's servants? I sound like a madman, but I'm a better servant than they are. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more times. I've been whipped much more, and I've been near death more often. 5 times I was given the 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans, and once I was stoned. I've been in 3 shipwrecks, and once I spent 24 hours in the water. In my many travels, I've been in danger from floods and robbers, in danger from fellow Jews and from Gentiles. There have been dangers in the city, dangers in the wilds, dangers on the high seas, and dangers from false friends. There have been work and toil. Often I've gone without sleep. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've often been without enough food, shelter, or clothing. And not to mention other things, every day I'm under pressure of my concern for all the churches. When someone is weak, then I feel weak too. When someone is led into distress, into sin, I'm filled with distress. If I must boast, I will boast about things that show how weak I am. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, blessed be his name forever, knows that I am not lying. While I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas placed guards at the city gates to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through an opening in the wall and escaped from them. Amen.
Let's pray together. Great God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, particularly for the letters of Paul. And we ask that the words on the page might come to life in the present, that we might learn more of you and your calling on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul is getting quite passionate in this letter. And as we've been making our way through 2 Corinthians, we've noticed that for the Christians in Corinth, boasting was a problem within the church. Not only were they boasting about themselves and their own achievements, but they were denigrating Paul and the other apostles because of their suffering. In particular, Paul is denigrated for not having a sense of flair or style, of little entertainment value and eloquence. They said, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. And what Paul is doing in this chapter is teaching these Christians what false and true servants of God look like. While Paul's critics are trying to claim their value to the importance of their church and are discrediting Paul, Paul spends his time describing true and false disciples so the church can properly elevate and evaluate what Paul has done for them and what these critics have been doing. Paul wants to do this because he loves them. In the first 2 verses, Paul tells them that he feels a divine jealousy for them. Paul brought them to Christ through the preaching of the gospel and cannot bear to watch them turn against him and all that he taught them. But these false teachers are telling, what they're telling them is causing their thoughts to go astray, to be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And he describes what's happening to them as being similar to the serpent deceiving Eve. These people are tricking you. They're causing your thoughts to be turned away from the sincere and pure devotion of Christ. Now, this is happening because people are coming in and proclaiming, if you like, another Jesus than what Paul and his companions have been preaching in Corinth. And they're accepting the message of others. They're not seeing the way these people are. They're accepting them for their message. And we get even more of a sense of the problem in verses 5 and 6. These critics are seen as what we might describe today as uber apostles, super apostles, mainly because they think Paul is unskilled in his speaking. Again, we're seeing an emphasis and praise for the public speaking skills of others. Of course, we want good speakers in our churches, but do we judge somebody purely on their ability to speak in public? Isn't their message and their character more important? But there are even bigger problems that Paul now addresses. First, Paul notes the difference between how he came to these Corinthians and how these false Christians, these false teachers come to them. The false teachers were elevating themselves while Paul came to them in humility. In particular, he's speaking about coming to them for free, even though he had the right to ask to be financially supported while preaching the gospel there. Paul didn't want to burden the church in that way. He cared about the financial well-being of the church. He didn't want to take much from them, unlike these false teachers. They were quite happy to burden the church in Corinth, charging them unnecessarily, and then criticizing Paul for preaching for free to them, taking his support from the churches in Macedonia. Paul is showing that the decisions he made was for the good of the church and not for the good of himself. And Paul emphasizes in verse 11, you know that I love you. True followers will do what is in the best interests of the church, not the best interests of themselves. Church leaders are to help the church, to build it up, to allow it to flourish, not to hurt or to hinder it. And that's what Paul is doing. Paul tells these Christians that he came to them selflessly. And then Paul says something that's quite hard to believe. People claim to be followers of Christ, but really are not. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm used to people I meet day to day in the streets in Cannes or elsewhere who might tell me in the conversation that they too are a Christian. But when you really get to know them, you understand their beliefs and their actions. They don't really understand what it is to be a true follower of Christ. But what is harder to understand is somebody who comes through the doors of a church claiming to be a follower of Jesus. And Paul calls these people who are part of the Corinthian church false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. But they're not always clear and obvious. Paul talks about how Satan is sometimes seen as the angel of light, and how then his ministers become ministers of righteousness, disguised as ministers of righteousness. People may pretend that they are in some way godly. They say things that are plausible and sound good. But Paul says their end will match their deeds. And then finally, Paul describes more about what false teachers and false servants of Christ look like. They boast in themselves and what they do. They boast in their achievements. They make much of themselves. They think highly of themselves. And more than that, they enslave you and take advantage of you. They do not give to you, but they take from you. They act arrogantly towards you. They insult you and they abuse you. Paul says that you can identify them because they just hurt you and use you. You can identify them because they make a big deal about themselves. They disguise themselves, but you can see who they really are based on the way they talk and act. And then Paul says, these are the qualities of the true follower of Christ. Paul says that the Corinthians apparently want a contest of boasting, but they've been boasting about themselves. So he says that he will gladly play the fool's game and start boasting about himself. But notice what his boasting is about. First, he says he is a true Jew. This must indicate that those false ones were also Jewish, and claiming some sort of significance in that. Paul says he has a pedigree. But why does that matter? Well, notice where Paul's boasting goes. He describes himself as a servant of Christ by all the things he suffered for Christ. Now remember, that was the very thing the Corinthians were critical of Paul for. His sufferings disqualify him as an apostle in their eyes. So what does Paul do? Paul magnifies these sufferings all the more. Many imprisonments, countless floggings, often near death, received 40 lashes 5 times, beaten 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked, drifting at sea, in danger from bandits, danger even of his own people in the church, and from Gentiles, and from hostile environments. He was without food and water, cold and naked. He really lays it on thick. He hit quite a low point in his life when he was a fugitive, being lowered through the window in Damascus. And now the great fugitive is a fugitive for Jesus. But note that Paul does not speak of the great things he has done. Paul does not say that he has established more churches, preached in more places, travelled more miles, baptised more people, or wrote the most books of Scripture in the New Testament. Not that he would have known that at the time. What is Paul's boast? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Paul's boast is about weakness. It is not about him, but ultimately about God. If there were anybody who could boast, would it not be Paul? Who else could compare to his achievements at the time? Yet Paul draws attention to his weaknesses. He never put himself forward, never drew attention to himself. He did not boast about himself. He did not think highly of himself. He sacrificed and gave it all to Jesus. And that is seen most obviously in how he relates to the church in Corinth. I suppose the message here can be boiled down to one question. Is he feeding me or feeding on me? Paul says that he fed those Christians in his letters and in his teachings when he was there in person. He did what was best for them. He loved them and he cared for them. The false prophets and servants, however, were feeding on the Corinthians. They put themselves forward. They took advantage of the Corinthians financially. They, in a sense, enslaved them. They elevated themselves over them. They hurt and abused them. They were physically confrontational. You can see a clear difference between the one who is true and the one who is false. Is this person helping us or are they hurting us? Are they building us up or are they dividing us and pulling us down? Are they feeding us or are they feeding on us? It's always a delight when somebody wants to become a part of the church here. When somebody wants to become part of this Christian family, we look to see if they want to give themselves to Christ first and foremost and to his body, the church. We covenant with God and with each other. We want to see that they're committed to following Jesus and giving their time and their resources and support to the life and mission of this local church. And if they're false, they'll take, and if they're true, they'll give. But there's a challenge here for all of us. We need to look at our own lives and consider where we are. Would you describe yourself as true or false? Are we servants, or do we act like kings? I can't help but act like a king, by the way. That's just the way I am. Do we give to others or do we take from them? Paul said that he would boast about the things that show his weakness because as he, we'll find out in chapter 12 as he wrote, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul stresses that great truth that made all the difference in his life. If he'd never learned that lesson, We would never have heard about him today. He would have been just another first century flash in the pan, another celebrity who shot to fame for a while and then disappeared. Nobody would have heard of him since. Instead, he became a great missionary who has shaken the world for Christ in every generation since, because he learned the secret that Jesus taught his disciples: without me, you can do nothing. So if you and I must boast, let us boast in our weaknesses. And the challenge, our greatest challenge, is to stay constantly focused on and devoted to Jesus and his way. Amen.